You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Wednesday evening, our DolphinsTalk.com schedule release podcast. I am your host, Mike, joined as I am each and every Wednesday night by the 2020 Miami Dolphins Fan of the Year, Ian Berger. Ian, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Mike? I got my schedule in hand. I'm wearing my classic Miami Dolphins t-shirt. I am ready to talk about our 2021 schedule, my friend.
Yes, the 2021 schedule is released, even the preseason games. And we also have a special guest joining us tonight in the podcast from the same old Dolphin show from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Josh Katzker is with us.
Josh, what's up? Hello, Miami Dolphin fans.
Yes, we got the schedule out, and I'm going to open up the show. First off, I want to thank everyone who's watching us over at FinHeaven.com. Everyone, be sure to go to FinHeaven.com to interact with Miami Dolphins fans all over the world and the largest Miami Dolphins message board out there, and also who are watching us live on the Facebook page. I am a Miami Dolphins fan right now, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. So we got the schedule. I'm losing my voice already. Let's start with the preseason schedule, because that's sort of gone under the radar today. Only three preseason games this year. On August 14th, Saturday, the Miami Dolphins play at the Chicago Bears at 1 p.m. It's not a night game. It's a Saturday at 1 p.m. Then the following week, August 21st, they play the Atlanta Falcons at 7 p.m. At home at Hard Rock Stadium. Then the final preseason game is at Cincinnati, August 29th. That's a Sunday, 4 p.m. And I think that one's nationally televised on CBS, because per the Miami Dolphins website, it says CBS next to it. And the other games don't. So I don't think that's the local CBS. We'll check on that. I think that's a nationally televised game on CBS. So three preseason games have been announced. Now, for the Miami Dolphins schedule, we're going to go over it. I'm not going to read off every game one by one, because we're going to talk about them. You can go to the Miami Dolphins official website, MiamiDolphins.com, or go to our website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have it up on the website right now. So, gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about. Let me get your initial thoughts. Ian, I'll start with you on the schedule. I think the one thing that pops out to me, the big thing, is the Miami Dolphins play all their road games inside the AFC East. They're done and over by week 11, which is rare. That means no road game late in the year at the Bills, at the Jets, at the Patriots, where it's really bad and snowy. Week 11, their road games inside the AFC East are over. That's the one thing that really stands out. Ian?
You know, you kind of took, and I think everybody has a very similar view when it comes to that, because, you know, how many years have we said at the, you know, the last month of the year in December, we're playing in Buffalo? How many times can we remember playing in Pittsburgh with the snow on the ground, or Buffalo with the snow on the ground? So I think that's a huge advantage for the Miami Dolphins, that we don't have to go out. But here's the other thing. And, you know, some people don't think about this. And when is the last time that the Miami Dolphins had a bye week that late in the season, when you're really pushing for the playoffs and when you really need that break before that final push, before that final month? You know, week 14, having a bye week, I can't remember when the last time it was that we had a late bye like that, because usually it's what, week 4, week 5, week 6. I think that's an advantage for the Miami Dolphins. So I will give some thunder to Josh. I won't steal his, because there's a couple other things I'm sure we're going to talk about, but I don't want to take all the stuff. So Josh, your turn, buddy.
I am thrilled with this, with the schedule. Actually, having a late bye week, I think is a big time win for the Dolphins. They were supposed to have a late bye week last season, but it got moved up because of the COVID situation and things got switched all around. And then they were supposed to have a bye week. It was a couple of years ago where they had the game that was delayed by the hurricane, and they ended up having a bye week one, and they ended up having to play 16 straight games. So it's really great to have that bye week 14. Hopefully everything is running smoothly. I'm sure the NFL has all kinds of contingency plans in place in the event that things go haywire because of COVID or whatever, because I think that's still going to be a somewhat of a factor this season, although probably a little bit less than it was last year. So it's possible things might get moved around a lot, but I love it. As Mike hinted at, the big thing is the last road game that the Dolphins play in division, November 21, week 11, at the Jets. That means the Dolphins dodge having to go play at the end of the season in Foxborough or in Buffalo, two places where the Dolphins just historically seem to struggle late in the year. Those kinds of trips are out of the way. So things really stand at a pretty good place for the Dolphins as far as in division. And then you've got some home games down the stretch. I'm really, really excited about this Dolphins schedule overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first six or seven games are rough. I'm not going to lie. At New England, home against the Bills, at the Raiders, home against the Colts, at Tampa, London, and then no off week after London game. They're home against Atlanta, who's really good. Then they're at the Bills. I'd say those first eight games, Jacksonville stinks, let's be honest. Outside of that, those are all good teams. Those are very good. The first 8 weeks, you will know. If they get off to a slow start, they're not going to be able to rebound. Those first eight games are crucial. They got to be above 500 because Raiders probably should have won against us last year. Let's just be honest. We got a lucky play at the end. Indianapolis is a playoff team. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. The Bills beat us like a drum consistently. We got them twice in the first 8 weeks. Those first eight games are going to tell the tale of this Miami Dolphins 2021 season. There is no way they can get off to a slow start this year because they're just not going to be able to rebound from it, unfortunately. It's not one of those things where they're 1-3, 1-4. That's going to be tough to come back from. But I do agree. Overall, you couldn't ask for a better schedule. I will say this. I know fans, a lot of fans, are probably disappointed with only two primetime games. And I want to go over this because I have a lot of insight into this. As I've talked to people about this, and here's how the primetime schedule works. Sunday Night Football is meant for the largest TV markets. That's why you have Andy Dalton and the Chicago Bears on there week one. You think Sunday Night Football wants to show Andy Dalton week one? No, but they want the Chicago market, the number three TV market in the country, on Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football is always going to show the Cowboys. It's always going to show the Giants or Jets. It's always going to show the Rams or now the Chargers. It's always going to show those big market teams as many times as they can. They don't care about the matchup, but they want big ratings, big markets, marquee. Monday Night Football is kind of in the same boat, but not as much in that the game, yeah, they want a great game. Don't get them wrong. But at the end of the day, it's about ratings. That's how the NFL signs these billion-dollar TV deals. And the Miami Dolphins, it's not a tiny market in South Florida, but when you compare it to the New York's, Los Angeles, Chicago's, those ones, it's smaller. And plus the franchise for 20 years, you know, hasn't consistently been good, saying it nicely. So they're not going to be a franchise that gets a ton of primetime games. They're just not. Now we got two this year. We got a Thursday night game at home against the Ravens. I'd rather look. Ravens historically beat us up. We all know that. But at least it's at home on a Thursday night. So promising. And then we got a Monday.
The Ravens, you'd like to have them on a short week
at home. You'd rather have a short week at home. That's the best case scenario. And then we got the Saints after Christmas, Monday Night Football. The Saints aren't the Saints anymore. So that's not awful either, I don't think, because the Saints without their quarterback are just another team. So I love this schedule, how it played out. Lack of primetime games. Also, that game against Jacksonville really is a national game because it's on at 9:30 in the morning.
And here's the other thing, Mike, and I want to make sure I bring it up because, you know, we do have flex scheduling weeks 5 through 18, right? There's flex scheduling. Yeah. And then that game against the Jets, which is week 15, they haven't given us a time or a date. Basically, they've said it's either Saturday, December 18th or Sunday, December 19th. And I think that's going to have a lot to do with how the Jets are playing, because you really don't know, you know, with the new coach, with the new quarterback, You don't know how they're going to end up playing. And then two, you know, week 17 at Titans. Titans have been a playoff team for the last two seasons. And if the Dolphins are going to be as good as I think they're going to be, that week 17 game can easily be flexed to a later time period. And last but not least,
what's the storyline in that game? What's the storyline to
well,
in that game?
Well, it's obviously going to be Tannehill versus Tua, right? It's going to be Tannehill versus the Dolphins.
That could be flexed, yep.
So, and then, of course, too, the last game of the season, no team is given a Sunday night or Sunday afternoon or a primetime game for that last game of the season. And we're playing the Patriots at home. There's nothing more that I would love to see than us fighting for either that final playoff spot or us fighting for that bye week against the Patriots at home, you know, at 8:30 at night on Sunday night after everything else has been determined. You know, let us be the last game of the season, right? Instead of us always being the first ones or the second ones. But I love the schedule too. I think there's a lot of good with the game. And I do think that it's truly three prime times if you count that game overseas.
Exactly. It is.
Everybody's going to be watching at 9:30 in the morning.
Breakfast with the Dolphins.
It's the only game
9:30 a.m. Breakfast with the Dolphins. Yep. Like breakfast at Wimbledon, they always say breakfast with the Dolphins. You can wake up, have some eggs, a little toast, maybe some bagels, and watch NFL football. And your day's over with the Dolphins for those on the East Coast. At like 1 o'clock in the afternoon for those on the West Coast. It'll be a really early morning. Let's go through the week. Well, let's go through some of the big games. Week one at New England, just like last year, 4:25. It's the late game. Might not be the big late game because you got Kansas City and the Browns, but it's a late game. Week one, Will Fuller can't play that game. That's kind of the big news from that game. And we're all hoping it's Mac Jones as starting quarterback, although it probably won't be. Mac Jones versus Tua. Josh, what are your thoughts week one with Miami at the Patriots again?
This is a big game for the Dolphins to open up the season. I think it's a great way to really kick things off for this team because this is going to be a game where really the Dolphins and the Patriots have completely swapped the position as far as like where the teams are leveraging one another, right? Typically, when you have the Dolphins going into the Patriots, you've got a team in the Patriots that you know is going to the postseason that you feel is like ready to make a deep run. And that's always what their goal is. And then the Dolphins come to town and the Dolphins are a team that is scrapping. And, you know, if everything breaks the right way, is a team that could, you know, maybe make the playoffs, you know, and then be a one and done team in the playoffs. This year, the Dolphins go into that game at New England, and the Patriots are what I refer to as a bubble team. If you've listened to the same old Dolphin show, we talk about what we call these bubble teams. And these are these teams that if everything breaks just the right way for them, they might be in that playoff conversation come the end of the season. But they're also a team that if things don't go the right way for them they break even as far as lucky breaks, they're a team that might find themselves drafting in the top 10. They're one of those teams that could really go either way, where when you look at the Dolphins and you listen to the messaging coming from Brian Flores and Chris Greer this week, this is a team that has their eyes on not just making the playoffs, but winning the division and making a deep run. Like they're talking about this rebuild is complete. So you want to show that the rebuild is complete and you are a team that means business, there is no better way to do it than to go into Foxborough, into a place where you've had trouble winning in the past and putting your marker down and winning a big road game week one against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
I absolutely agree. Now, Ian, week two, and I saw you today on social media, and I love you more than I've ever loved you in the past, getting into it with the Bills Mafia. And Ian, you really are my best friend. It's amazing. Week two, Miami, home against the Bills. It's on Fox now, two AFC teams. It's on Fox at 1 o'clock. That's a big game, home against the Bills. We know the Bills are, you know, the team in the AFC East now we're all trying to catch. What are your thoughts on that week two game?
Well, here's what happened, first of all. You know, I came out with the schedule, and I said, you know, it's going to be the Bills. And then he's, you know, I had a Bills fan come out and talk about how they were going to whoop our butt, right? So I had to kind of give a little bit, and I was like, you know, and I'll tell you this exact same thing. This Miami Dolphins team that we're going to be seeing week one at Patriots, week two at home versus the Bills, which is a great home opener, by the way.
Absolutely.
This is a different team. This team has been built further to be able to beat a Buffalo Bills team. I'm not guaranteeing a win, and I know it's going to be tough because the Bills played very well the last couple of seasons, and Josh Allen has clearly come into his own. But the Dolphins are going to have a very different team than what they saw the last week of last season. Remember, if I remember correctly, all of our starting wide receivers were out that last game, right? And guess what? This season, we are going to be introduce them to Will Fuller because that's going to be his first game with the Dolphins. We should have a healthy Preston Williams, a healthy Devontae Parker. So if they want to take it easy and say, hey, we killed them by 30 points the last game of last season.
They did.
Who cares? That truly happened.
That's last year.
So to the tweet, and I'm sure you saw this too, I said, if we're living in the past, then I'm just going to keep reminding the Bills fans, you know, that there's an empty case with four spots where Lombardi trophies did not fit in, you know, that they went to the wedding, but they didn't end up getting married four times in a row. So, you know, if they want to continue to live in the past over there, but I'm excited about that home opener. I think Hard Rock Stadium is going to be filled with Dolphins fans first and foremost. And second of all, I think that place is going to be packed. Crossing my fingers, everything is safe. We're all good to be able to do that. But I do honestly think it's going to be packed. And you know what? Anything's possible. That place is going to be on fire.
If the Bills come into this game thinking it's going to be like week 17 last year where they ran up and down on us and they beat our butts, they could overlook us this game. And this is a game where at home, Miami could be like, okay, is that going to be as easy as it was last year? Because we're not going to be starting, you know, Lynn Bowden Jr., Malcolm Perry, Parker's on one leg limping around, trying his best, but he's on one leg. It's beyond. So I think that's a game where Miami could catch them, maybe being a little overconfident, thinking it's Miami. We killed them last year. That's a game. I'm just going to sort of go through these games. If anybody wants to hop in a little bit, week three at the Raiders, we played them last year on the road. Raiders are a good team, not a great team. You don't know what you're going to get week to week with the Raiders. So it is what it is. Week four, home against the Colts, Carson Wentz. The Colts are a good team. The Colts are a really good team. So that's going to be an interesting game. 1 o'clock on CBS. Week five is a big game. I'm really looking forward to week five. Ian, I'll let you talk about this some at Tampa Bay.
So
Tom Brady,
that game, if I remember the date right, is October 10th. My birthday is October 11th. And I am talking to the missus about saying, hey, how about a nice little birthday gift for me to be able to drive 4 hours to Tampa, right? To go, because I can't go to England. And I know we've talked, there have been some folks that have asked if I could do that. It's just too much money for now. But a drive down I-4 to get to Tampa is very possible. And I think that could be a huge game for the Dolphins right off the bat, too. Like, you know, the ex Super Bowl champs, we'll see. We'll see if they, you know, they kept the exact same team pretty much as last year the Bucs. And they're a great team, but let's see if they've got the same drive and determination as they did last year to get back to the Super Bowl. You know, sometimes you see those Super Bowl teams, a la the Philadelphia Eagles from a couple seasons ago, where, you know, they won the Super Bowl, but that next year right afterwards, it was a flop. They couldn't get back. They couldn't do it again.
If the Miami Dolphins were to beat Tampa Bay on the road week five, that would be a statement game across the entire league saying the Miami Dolphins are for real. Because Tampa Bay, they got superstars everywhere. We saw it in the Super Bowl. They're a very good team. We all hate Tom Brady, but you got to give the guys due. They're a good team. So that would be a statement win. If they went to Tampa October 10th, Ian, your wife's got to – it's your birthday. Come on. You're the Miami Dolphins fan of the year 2020. You got to make that trip.
I dropped it good. Before she went upstairs.
That's said, it.
Honey, we can talk more about it. We'll talk more about it, so we'll see how it works.
Now, week six is a big one. And, Josh, I know you're ready for this. So, yes. Week six, Miami plays Jacksonville. But it's not in Jacksonville, no. It is in jolly old England, the Miami Dolphins travel across the pond. Long live the Queen and all that good stuff. They go to England, where we know we have a lot of Miami Dolphins fans. Look, they're not losing a home game, so I can't be upset that the Miami Dolphins have to travel to London. I know some fans are upset. Why? It's a road game. Whether you travel to Jacksonville or if they go to London, who cares at the end of the day? It's still a road game. Josh, what are your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins going to England, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, Miami at Jacksonville?
Well, listen, I don't like the idea of the overseas game. I really don't like it when you don't get the bye the following week. The Dolphins have foregone getting the bye the week after. I guess the team gets that option, but they decided that rather than having the bye in week seven, they wanted it later in the year. So they've said, no, thank you. We don't want the bye. So I don't love that aspect of it. But I mean, from the perspective of you're playing Jacksonville, you know, let's just say that Trevor Lawrence hits it off and things are going really well and things are clicking on all cylinders for the Jaguars. You'd much rather face them in England at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where you're not having to go up against, you're not having to deal with the Jacksonville home field crowd. Because in London, we know very well that a good chunk of that stadium is going to be Miami Dolphin fans. Right. And listen, the people that have been watching Tottenham Hotspur week after week after week in the Premier League this season are probably sick and tired of the, I believe they call it dross, that they've been forced to watch week in, week out. So they are going to be ready to be there, hopefully in person, watching the Miami Dolphins beat up Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Urban Meyer.
And Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not sold Tim Tebow's getting out of camp. I'm not sure he's making the roster there. It's a good story now, but let's be realistic. I don't think Tim Tebow's making the team.
He won't get past the second preseason game.
And all the Dolphin fans in the UK, come on, mates. We're coming over. The Dolphins, we're going to the UK. We're going to beat the Jaguars in front of all the great UK fans. Come on, Miami.
I love it. And you know what? It's the thing. I'm happy for them. Because here's why I'm happy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast, myself and Ian. We get messaged. I've been on a UK podcast. I know Ian has as well. There are so many Dolphins fans in the UK. Let them have a game. It's one game. And here's the thing now. The NFL changed the rule where if you want to host a Super Bowl, you don't have to part with a home game overseas. So this might be the last game that they have to go overseas for many, many years, Miami, because that rule's gone. So if they want to put in a Super Bowl bid in a year or two or three, they don't have to part with any more home games. And they did the NFL put in that rule where, you know, everyone has to go overseas, whether it's a home game or a road game. Everyone has to go now. It's a rule. Everyone has to take their turn. Jacksonville has a unique deal because of everything they have happening with their home city and like the home stadium, but everyone else is going to have to take their turn. Miami's, they're getting it out of the way. So it might be I'm happy for the fans that are there, but it might be the last time they have to go for a while. We'll see. But 9:30 a.m. Ian, that's an early day, buddy.
I am so happy because that's the only thing I'm going to be watching. I'm going to finish my breakfast. I'm going to turn the TV on, just chill out, not have to worry too much about fantasy football, right? Because it's the only game on in town. But I have to agree with you, Mike, that I think it's a great treat for the UK Miami Dolphins fans. You know, if you think about what happened last year, and we have a lot of UK Dolphins fans that try and come over to the United States, that try and come over to a Dolphins game or a couple of games, and they couldn't do that last year. You know, so this is an opportunity for them. And we don't know what international restrictions there might be coming to or from, you know, come that point. But, you know, hopefully things will be cleared up by then. But I'm happy for them, you know, and I'm happy for the Miami Dolphins local fans in South Florida, because again, we're not losing a home game. In addition to that, we're going to have 9 regular season home games for the first time, I think, ever. The only folks that I do feel a little bad about, and I've communicated with a couple of them today, is those folks that lived in Jacksonville and they were hoping that they would be able to go to a Jacksonville Dolphins game. You know, but for those folks, just make the drive down south, just like I'm talking about making the drive up to Tampa. But
exactly,
I'm overall happy. I think it just builds that fandom across the pond. What I have heard, and I think it's probably because I have not paid that much attention, but I've heard there's a great Jacksonville Jaguars contingency across the pond as well.
Well, yeah, because the owner.
So, because remember, they were potentially thinking about moving, or there had been some talk. I don't know if they were thinking about it.
It will happen.
Talk about that.
Here's the deal with that. Jacksonville they will move overseas to London eventually. The reason they can't move now is they have the absolute worst lease with a stadium and a city in NFL history. So they're locked in to like 2025, 2026. It is a brutal lease, one of the worst ones ever. Otherwise, they would have been there 3 years ago, but they can't. So eventually, they're moving there. And when they move there, there's good. I mean, I don't want to get into the weeds on this. There's going to be a shakeup into they probably won't be in the AFC South. They might go to the AFC East, and maybe a team in the AFC East, probably Miami, might move to the AFC. I mean, that's years down the road, so people don't get upset over it. But it will happen. There's a few things that are going to happen in our lifetime. There will be a team in London full-time, and there will be a Super Bowl played in London full-time. I know fans get irate when they hear about it. It's just going to happen because the money over there is so big, and the NFL has literally tapped every resource of financials out of the United States. The only way they will continue to grow is to tap that London market, that market overseas. So it will happen in our lifetime. Just not going to happen right away, so don't lose sleep over this stuff. But they are going to move there eventually because their owner owns a football club over there. I don't know anything about that stuff. I know Josh knows more, but it will happen. It's just a matter of when.
He's the owner of Fulham Football Club, who have been relegated to the second division of English football. The second division, which is called the Championship. They've been relegated from the Premier League. Or they may not have been officially relegated at this point, but it's going to happen.
So his teams suck both in real football and their version of football is what you're saying.
Yeah, if the Jacksonville Jaguars, if we had promotion and relegation in the NFL, the Jaguars would have been replaced by Alabama, you know, years ago.
Yeah, okay. So after week six, like we said, no bye week. Then home against Atlanta. We know what Atlanta's got in offense. The other side of the ball, they're a mess. Julio Jones, Pitts, Matt Ryan, Ridley, they're a good team. Then at the Bills on Halloween, Orchard Park, which if you've ever been to Orchard Park, it's Halloween every day. That place is a dump. So Halloween, Josh knows he's been there. Orchard Park, Halloween, 1 o'clock CBS. Then week nine, probably the easiest game of the year, Houston at home. Can't lose to Houston home. I know Houston always beats us. Houston stinks. They stink on toast. Week 10, Thursday night football. If there's a game leading into Thursday night football you want, it's Houston. The Ravens, we know the Ravens always beat us like a drum, but they're at home on Thursday night football. Ian, any thoughts about a Thursday night game? You better take off Friday from work that week.
That was going to be my first thought, actually, that I'm going to need to take off Friday, November 11th or November 12th, excuse me. But I'm totally okay with that. And, you know, I love home primetime games, and it's been a while since we've had one. You can kind of call the Tennessee Titans game from four seasons ago a primetime game, because remember, that was the home opener. That was the longest game in history. It went till 8:30, so it was on TV pretty much all day. But since then, there really hasn't been any primetime games. So I'm excited because, you know, South Florida, Miami, we get up for those late night games. We fill that stadium. We do a really bang up job with making sure that we represent. And, you know, when I think about the Ravens and I think about them playing at Hard Rock Stadium, there's not a lot of good memories. There's not a lot of good Dolphins memory. So it will be nice for us to be able to change that script a little bit. And it's going to start. It's going to start this season for a lot of these teams that we're playing.
Yeah, and I want to see Lamar Jackson, who I don't care what anybody says, can't throw the ball to save his life, try throwing against Howard and Jones that week. I think that's how Miami might be able to flip the script here and finally have a little success against the Ravens. Lamar Jackson, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but he still struggles throwing the ball. He just does. And he's never going to be a great pocket passer. If Miami can, you know, keep him in the pocket, not let him run around and make plays with his legs and force him to throw, Howard and Jones, I think, will cause him nightmares, which is what we want. That's how we will win games this year, is let Howard and Jones do their thing. And I think with Jackson, that might be something to watch. Now, week 11 at the New York Jets.
MetLife Takeover.
That's right. MetLife Takeover, 1 o'clock on CBS. Now, I was going to save this for the end of the show, but I want to make a plea right now. Ian, I made a plea a few weeks ago prior to the draft. That was a little bit more serious. This one's – it's still serious, but it's more fun in nature. For those of you who haven't been following the plight of Zach Wilson's mother on social media
– oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes.
Exactly. This lady was, you know – prior to the draft, when I did those draft preview shows with Dante Colonnelli, Dante loves Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's a great player. This arm, breaking him down, great player. And I go, everything you say is 100% correct. But if he goes to the Jets, it'll be a miserable failure because prior to the draft, he was talking about he's the Mormon Mahomes. He's bringing swag. And now you got his mother going off on these crazy rants. If Zach, Zach Wilson's being set up to fail here by his family. His mom is like, who's the father there, like in the NBA? Lamar Ball, or whatever his name is, whatever. So here's my plea. Miami Dolphins fans, if you can get me Zach Wilson's mom on this podcast for a one-on-one interview, if you guys could, because I don't think she's on Twitter. I think she's on Instagram and stuff. If you can, just a one-on-one interview, I will give that fan who sets that up any piece of memorabilia sitting behind me, including the Marino jersey on the wall. I want Zach Wilson's mom on this podcast in an interview. And I think we lost Ian. I'd probably scare her with this. But that, I mean, Zach Wilson's mother is a train wreck on social media. She is all over the place. And I just, if anybody can set up getting Zach Wilson's mom on this podcast for a one-on-one interview, I will give them any piece of memorabilia sitting behind me. Because I think this lady is just, I don't want to ruin any type of, I think she'd be a very interesting spot. Let me just leave it at that.
I just, you know, here's the thing. When I think about players' moms getting involved, you know, you have your
never goes well.
Yeah, you got some ones that are positive, but then you've got some other ones where, you know, they're putting the wrong messages out there. You know, the most recent one that I can think of is Micah Fitzpatrick's mom.
Yeah.
You know, and that she wanted him out and she was his kind of microphone and that didn't work out too well. And then you've also got spouses like Miko Grimes, of course. Those are the ones that come into mind. But, you know, New York, York market with this happening, I don't know how he is going to be able to live with it. And this is just at the scheduled release. The season hasn't even started. The playoffs haven't even, our preseason hasn't even started.
This is a bad game.
For the New York Jets fans, and I know we don't have any that are watching, but if there are any that are watching, I feel sorry for you guys because it does seem like you guys are in trouble right now.
I understand. Look, I don't care. And it has nothing to do with some of the stuff she's saying because some of this stuff is like political nature. I don't care what her politics are. If she doesn't understand that her son is in the highest profile spot, number two pick of the draft, quarterback, in the largest media market in the world, that she just has to probably turn off her social media, number one. Or two, if you're going to have it, don't do videos, recordings, saying crazy things. But God, she is meant for a podcast. She is podcast gold, as they say. And I would love just to have a one-on-one interview. I'm going to ask her serious questions. I'm not going to like mock her or make fun of her. If anyone can set that up, like I said, any piece of memorabilia behind me is yours because I would love to just have her for a one-on-one interview. I think it'd be amazing.
I'll take that number 13 off the wall with all
you set this up with her. I think I can say that safely because there's no way she'd ever do it. But really, she is – wow, she's out there. Yes. And if you want to see some of the tweets, go to my Twitter page at Dolphins Talk. Week 12 – Panthers at home. Don't really know what you're going to get with the Panthers. They're like an okay team. They're not bad. They're not great. You don't know what's going on at quarterback there with Sam Darnold. He's okay. They got the running back who's great. But outside of that, they're like, okay, that's might be a tough game, but it's at home. You don't really know. Week 13, they got the Giants at home. Giants are a tricky team. They could be good or they could be really bad. Josh, what are your thoughts on the Giants?
So this is our extra game, right? Yeah. This is our extra game against the NFC East team. And I think of the teams in the AFC East, I think we are got off among the lightest. Like I would much rather have the Giants or the Eagles than the Cowboys or Washington, which are two teams that I would expect to be on par with or better than they were last year. I think the Giants are going to be a little bit improved as well, but Daniel Jones is just such a question mark. You just really don't know what you're going to get with that team. But I like the idea of having them at home. I like getting that game, that extra game against the NFC East. I like getting it at home. With our lockdown pass defense, this is going to be a game that, assuming – you know, Saquon Barkley is able to stay healthy for the Giants this year, that this is going to be a big time Saquon Barkley game. It's going to be one of those big tests for our rushing defense. And that's the area where I think we're going to really need to see the most improvement from this team overall on the defensive side of the ball. And so I think this is going to be a big test for them. But I like getting that kind of matchup late in the season, because by then, presumably, you know, we will have gelled as a unit and have figured some things out and really be kind of on our way. And this is the last game before the bye week for the Dolphins. So it's going to be, you know, I think it's good to not have necessarily maybe the toughest opponent in the world the week right before a bye, because you're typically a little beat up by that point, especially at this point. The season's 3 months old already, and you're now just cruising into the bye week. But I like it, you know, and I like a game in South Florida against the New York team, because there's always going to be an element of that fan base in the stadium, and it always adds for a little bit spicier vibe, which I always appreciate. Even though it, you know, makes me a little upset, ruffles my feathers a little bit, but it still makes for a fun game.
Exactly. Now, week 14 is the bye, week of late bye. And since we're at the bye, Ian, it's that time in the show again where we have to talk about our friends over at Manscaped. And gentlemen, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement and the news you've been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0, the trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the United States and Canada. Let me, we're all holding it up to our cameras for those watching. I can't get mine in front. The Lawnmower 4.0. If you thought the 3.0 was good, gentlemen, the 4.0 will change your life forever.
Mike, can we talk about this logo that they have?
Yes, the logo is very interesting.
That is a...
That's a pair of balls, Josh.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. That's what it is. Because the new trimmer was just released, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Now you can go to Manscaped.
The trimmer.
Yes. You can go to manscaped.com as Ian holds his up. Go to manscaped.com. Holds up the trimmer, correct. For those just listening to audio. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%. And get free shipping. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good, it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. What makes this trimmer so better than every other trimmer out there is a new multifunction on-off switch, which can engage a travel lock, created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn on a 4000K LED spotlight on and off for that more precise shave down there, gentlemen. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over. Additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil-stamped black chromed Manscaped logo. Show off the mower. Show it off loud and proud, gentlemen. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the floor. Did I mention it's wireless? Yes, wireless, I say. It is a wireless charging 4.0 system. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes in life. No person wants to end up with pubes in your mouth, and your balls will thank you. So everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%, and get free shipping on the Lawnmower 4.0.
So I'm going to close this segment out, yes, Mike, by showing you, once you open up this beautiful box.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, that's got the balls on the front.
Yep.
I want you to see the message that's inside.
It's a whole new balls game. It is. This is a game changer, as they say.
Gold lettering. I love it. Yes,
because you know, gold. This is a golden. This is amazing. Let's get back to the schedule as we wrap up here. Week 15, home against the Jets. Zach Wilson again. Anyone out there? Zach Wilson's mom still out there that offer. I want her on this podcast. Week 16. Now, that week 15 game, there's not an exact date. It could be Saturday. It could be a Sunday. That week 15 is going to be in flux for the entire league. So going to have to wait a bit to get the exact date. Week 16 on the primetime games, Ian. Week 16, Monday Night Football at the Saints. What are your thoughts? Monday night, the Saints.
Again, I love late night games. I love it when we're nationally televised. People are like, the Dolphins don't do well on nationally televised game. But then I remind them, last season when we played, it was Thursday night against the Jaguars. And it was, I believe it was Sunday night against the Raiders. We went 2-0 in primetime games last season. So as I keep saying, with Coach Flores and Chris Greer at the helm, this is a different Miami Dolphins team than what we are used to. So do not be afraid to see our team on these primetime games. And again, it's New Orleans. It's going to be the first year without Drew Brees. It would I don't think they're going to be as good as as people might think they might be, as especially the New Orleans Saints fans might think. So we'll see. I could be wrong. Taysom Hill could go in and who else do they have at quarterback?
Winston,
Jameis Winston. They could come out and Jameis Winston could have like a new light on life as a quarterback, where he doesn't throw as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. But that's what we know right now for them. So until we see it, it's going to be the same. Now, where I do, and you mentioned this with Saquon Barkley, they have a great running back team for the Saints, right? With Alvin Kamara. So you've got to be able to, in my opinion, we're going to have to stop the run game for that game. But I'm happy we got a Monday Night Football game. I'm happy we got that Sunday morning game, and I'm happy we got a Thursday Night Football game. I love these primetime games.
And I'm happy also that we're not playing on Christmas Day or even the following day on Christmas. We got a little break around Christmas because I don't want to ruin my Christmas with a loss. So the fact that it's a couple days after makes me happy. Now, Josh, week 17, Ryan Tannehill versus the Miami Dolphins. That's the storyline. January 2nd, 1 o'clock. That's the storyline. I'm surprised this game is as late in the year as it is. I would think I would have thought if it were me in charge, they'd want this game earlier in the season because that's a big storyline.
Well, it's a Sunday afternoon game, New Year's weekend. So there's going to be plenty of people at home to watch it. It's currently in the 1 o'clock slot. That there's plenty of room and opportunity for that to change as well. This is actually probably going to be a game with big time implications in the AFC playoff picture, I would imagine, by this point in the season. So it's going to be a big game. And I think, listen, Ryan Tannehill coming, or it's on the road rather. So it's in Tennessee, but going up there and having the Dolphins having an opportunity to go up against Ryan Tannehill. We're going to have, this is why we moved on from you. We want to show you that this is who we are. And by that point, we'll be pretty locked in, and I would imagine. And, I would think it's really going to be more of a pressure game for him because he's going to want to, show up the Dolphins, I would expect. But, Tennessee is another one of those teams that's they've got a serious ground attack. So going up against Derrick Henry, I mean, he's just a beast. And it's going to be an exciting one. I can't wait. Listen, give me Ryan Tannehill versus the Dolphins all day, and I look forward to the Dolphins making him look like the quarterback that we all believed he was. Not this flash in the pan that we're seeing now coming into his zone. He's gonna revert back to the mean here and show true colors when the Dolphins come to town.
We're gonna
lock him down.
Real quick, I want to add something. I looked at this roster for the Titans. A.J. Brown, I think, is their only remaining wide receiver that is
really
recognizable, and he's really good. But that's it. That's the they lost their top
Corey Davis.
They lost Corey Davis. So Tannehill's going to have to make some connections with some new wide receivers because they don't have the strength that they had before. So it's going to be interesting to see how that develops throughout this year. And I'm thinking about that too from a fantasy football perspective. I'm thinking to myself, who do you pick up if you you want to pick somebody up for the Titans? But that could be a factor too when it comes time for us to be able to play them later on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stop Henry. That's always first and foremost. And after that, you take your chances with Tannehill. Some weeks he will beat you. We'll see, obviously. Now, week 18, final game of the year at home, Patriots open with the Patriots, close at home with the Patriots. I'm thinking by this week, if the Patriots are out of it, you're probably going to see Mac Jones. Now, I would love to see Mac Jones week one because why not? He's a rookie. But I think by week 18, you'll probably see Mac Jones. What are your thoughts, Ian?
I think we'll definitely see Mac Jones. He appears to be the future of the franchise for the New England Patriots. Probably going to transition him after week four or week five. Cam Newton will take the helm for the first couple of weeks, and then it'll be Mac Jones the rest of the way. So I fully anticipate, but you know, the thing is too, if they end up being already out of playoff contention and the Dolphins are somewhere there, it's going to be interesting to see what time this game is played. But I love that we're bookending against the Patriots. And, you know, I've had some Patriots fans that are very confident as well about their team. And I keep reminding them, you're not going to replace a Hall of Fame quarterback that quickly. You might think that that he's going to be it, but Mac Jones is going to be it, but he's probably not. He's probably going to be like Jay Fiedler was for us, who did well, but didn't get us where we needed to go. And then we went through 19 or 20 quarterbacks after that to get us to Tua right now. You know, and we're still figuring out Tua right now too. And this is his year to really prove that he is the quarterback that we all think he is. So I don't think the Patriots are going to be there yet. I think it's going to take them some time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the schedule. I think it's a good schedule. I mean, look, we knew who they were going to play. It's just the order you're playing them in. I just think late in the year, bye week is good. I see we have a question. Which games this year we'll get the throwback? Here's what I'll say for throwback. It's the same every year. It's going to be late in the year around Black Friday. They like to wear them around the holidays because that's when people do their Christmas shopping. So they want to have them out there. So Black Friday, you're looking late November. So Giants week 13, could see it then. Panthers even week 12. I don't think they'll do it against the Panthers just because it's not. With the Giants, that's like an old school NFL type team. Giants week 13, Jets week 15. Those are two prime games for throwbacks. Maybe they wear them once too earlier in the year. Maybe week two against the Bills even. I could see week two against the Bills, week four against Indy, or probably the games around Black Friday, Jets and Giants. So that's when you'll probably see throwbacks. I'm sure they will have that announced soon. They can only wear them three times. So we'll see there. The schedule, I think just overall, the first 8 weeks is it. Because the first 8 weeks is a lot tougher than the next 10. Those first eight games are brutal. They can't get off to a slow start. They just can't. So they got to come out of the gate hot. Because if they start off, 3-5, it's going to be almost impossible to rebound. Because the AFC, as we saw last year, is loaded with good teams and loaded with young quarterbacks who are very good. So the AFC, they might win 10 games again, not make a playoff. Because the AFC is loaded with, the Pat Mahomes of the world, Josh Allen, Mayfield. Now you got Trevor Lawrence, although they probably won't be good this year. He probably will be good in time, and they probably will be good soon. You got Pittsburgh still Pittsburgh. You got the Raiders are okay. You got Herbert, as much as we don't like Herbert. I mean, he's still a very good player. The AFC's loaded with a young, talented player, so those first 8 weeks, they better come out and be good. Because after that, it's
going to
get tough.
Well, here's something that I want to say. Just looking at the schedule, and this is a big takeaway for me, and I think it says it's less a comment about the schedule and more a comment about the team. Every year when the Dolphins schedule comes out, I have that first glance at it where I look at it and I go right down the whole schedule and I go, that's a loss, that's a loss, that's a loss. These are definite losses. And there's usually five or six definite losses in my mind on the schedule. As I look through this schedule, first 18-week schedule since 1993, first ever 17-game regular season schedule. I look at that schedule week by week, and there is not a single game on that schedule that I look at and go, there's no way the Dolphins can win that game. Not a single one of them. Because the Dolphins have made improvements to the team that I think are going to allow them to be competitive in those games where we at one point thought, this is not a game where I would expect the Dolphins to be competitive. This year, you look at that schedule, and I don't see any reason why the Dolphins couldn't win every single one. I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated. They're not going to run the table. I mean, that's highly unlikely. But, like, I mean, and maybe other people feel differently than I do, but I look at that schedule, and I'm not scared of a single team on there because I feel good enough about where this team is headed that we're going to be able to compete with every single team on there. Does that mean that's what's going to end up happening? No, probably not. But I'll say this. Earlier this week, I put out a tweet, and I said the Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC East in 2021. And I'm looking at that schedule, and let me tell you, this Miami Dolphins team is going 12-5, and they are going to win the AFC East. Let's go.
Your lips to God's ears.
That was what I was thinking too, actually, Josh. I had 12-5 in my head. You know, so when right before the season started, I know we love to do a roundtable.
We will.
Where we do, you know, wins and losses for every team. And I know I was one of the few that said 10-6 last season, even though I'm super optimistic. So it's going to be interesting. 12-5 was my thought too, because again, going from 5-11 to 10-6, the natural progression of things is for us to be able to take it 12-5.
And 12-5 will win this division. The Bills aren't going to be the hardest game on the whole schedule by far. Week 8, Halloween at the Bills. It's the hardest game on the schedule. At the Bills is a house of horrors for the Dolphins. Has been since I was a little kid. It's just a house of horrors. That's the hardest game. But yes, Josh, you're right. In years past, you could look at a schedule like we're not going to win at the Ravens. We're not going to win at Seattle. There was like a handful of games you could just look at each year. If at all they had to play Houston, we're not going to win that game. This year, I don't see that. Even the game this year against the Ravens, being at home on a short week, I like our chances actually, because I'm not afraid of the Ravens anymore. I think they used to be much better than they are now. So, yeah, overall, I mean, Jets twice. I'm sorry. With Zach Wilson, all joking aside, those should be two wins off the bat. Patriots, at worst, a split. I think we'll sweep them. There's four. Houston's a win. There's five. I mean, you're at five right there, I think, no matter what.
Yep.
You toss in the Panthers at home. Probably. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, you don't want to get into that game too much now. It's so far away. But I think getting to 10 wins or more should be the goal, as it is a downpour out by Ian Berger.
We got some vintage South Florida weather over there.
That's a soundtrack. Yeah, so
amazing that it's pouring out here. I'm going to put myself on mute.
No, yeah. I'm going to wrap this up. Just one other thing I just want to mention here before we wrap up, because we're almost at the hour mark anyways. The only bit of news, and it's not even news because we didn't land him. The Miami Dolphins did put in a waiver claim for running back Kerryon Johnson from the Lions. He went to Philadelphia instead. If Philadelphia did not put in the waiver claim, he would have been with the Miami Dolphins. Just kind of goes to show you that Miami's in the market for a running back. And there's going to be some guys cut probably soon here between now and the 1st of June. And then around training camp time. And there's still a lot of old guys who are on the market. So they're going to sign at least one, maybe even two. But they tried to get Johnson. And I think that sort of just gives you an idea of their thought process of the running back room. They know it's not good enough. They know it. Just like we know it. It needs at least someone else. Not someone who's going to save the day and do all the work. Just someone else to add to the group. So, guys, great show. Scheduled preview show. Not sure. I think Ian and myself are going to have a show next week with a special guest. I don't want to say who. I think next week we're going to have a show with a special guest. So be on the lookout for that. And we're also going to do now, because now we are truly in the heart of the offseason, where nothing's going to happen for a long period of time. There's like OTAs and mini camps and rookie camps, but you're not getting any news out of that stuff. It's guys running around in shorts. Any news you get, it's like, who cares? You're running around in shorts. Nothing happened. Just don't get hurt, really. So we're going to do a lot more of our fan series where we turn the podcast over to you and talk to you, the fans. Josh will be hosting some. Myself and Ian will be hosting some. I got a list of names we have to get through. If you want to send in and be on our show, send in the email to dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. To follow Ian Berger on Twitter, follow him at Ian693. To follow Josh on Twitter, follow him at AmplifyToRock. And to follow me, of course, follow me at Dolphins Talk. Subscribe to our YouTube page. A lot of new YouTube content up. Go to the YouTube page and search for
Dolphins Talk. Over 1,000 subscribers
now. We're over 1,000 subscribers, and we got there pretty quick. We got there pretty quick because we really hadn't had a lot of video content up, so we got to over 1,000 quick. And we're going to have a lot more video content in the near future, so check that out. What am I forgetting? The website, dolphinstalk.com. A ton of new content up, written articles, podcasts, videos. I have two interviews up there from within the past week. One with Safa Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, as we talk about the Miami Dolphins draft, their offseason move, and where Safa thinks we are in relation to the Buffalo Bills and how close we are to closing that gap. And also my interview last week with Ruthie Polinsky of NBC6 in South Florida. Got a few more interviews coming up in the next few weeks. So check out those interviews, as those guys down there have their finger on the pulse of the Miami Dolphins, let's just say. So, gentlemen, that's all we got for this week. Josh, I love how you close out shows. So I'm going to let you close out this show.
Oh, geez. Okay, that's a lot of pressure. You, well, thanks, everybody.
You got to do the
you want Jerry Springer. Springer.
I want the Jerry Springer close.
That's it. I figured that was what was happening over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us all off season. We've got a lot of new content coming your way right here at DolphinsTalk.com. So thank you for being part of the Dolphins Talk family. We'll look forward to seeing you on more live shows over the course of the off season. Always lots of content coming your way. So thanks again for watching. And for now, take care of yourselves and each other. We'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Fins
go
up,
Dolphins!
Fins up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.